أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين. روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الخلجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد.
One of the things that every time I come to the West, leaving Qom, when I come to the US, anywhere in the US or Europe, after a week or two, I am reminded of, and I start feeling the difference. I start being reminded of the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt that talk about zuhd. Okay. The West is really sparkly. All of the aspects of life that we have here compared to the East, it's like you just enter the airport, leaving Tehran, Tehran in Iran has got probably the best, not probably, definitely, the best airport that you have is Tehran. Now, the airport, some people complain about it being like, they say it's not as modern as, you know, some of the airports in that region. I tell them, you know, I don't know, wa alaykum as-salam. It seems to be pretty modern to me. The only thing that it doesn't have is too much of the sparkle that you find in the other airports. You walk into Dubai Airport or any airport in that region outside of Tehran, or you go to the Western countries, you enter Heathrow or Frankfurt Airport or any of those airports in Europe on the way, and you just, you know, all of a sudden just open your eyes like, oh. There's a very important concept in our religion that we mention one hadith that dealt with it that is called zuhd, brothers and sisters. Zuhd of the dunya. If I want to give a one-word explanation of it, to a certain extent it is staying away from the dunya. Let me read, there's so much literature we have in this regard, let me just read a few of them. The effects of zuhd. One says, from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Man zahada fi al-dunya athbatallahu al-hikmata fi qalbih wa antaqa biha lisanahu wa basarah. Wabassarahu uyub al-dunya da'aha wa dawa'aha. A person who stays away from the dunya, Allah will put wisdom in their hearts. وَأَنْتَقَ بِهَا لِسَانَهُ will cause their tongue to speak wisdom. وَبَصَّرَهُ عُيُوبَ الدُّنْيَا دَاءَهَا وَدَوَاءَهَا He will show him the problems in the dunya. A lot of times, we don't see the problems of the dunya. We don't feel it. When the Urafa talk about it, when the Ahlul Bayt talk about it, it doesn't really click. We may read their words, but it doesn't really click. We don't see it as a problem. A lot of times when I see people talking about some of the practical laws of Islam, okay, and how they structure the society, okay, when you talk to them and try to explain, realize it's not clicking, okay? Because the way they're seeing the dunya is different than the way Islam portrays the dunya, okay? And the Islam portrays the dunya the way it is with all the flaws, okay? But those don't click. وَأَخْرَجَهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا سَالِمًا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. We stay away from the dunya, we're going to go clean to the Darus Salam. Okay. It's very important. How are we going to leave this world? There's people that have started as believers. They've gone on for a while, but then what's happened towards the end of their lives, they've actually disbelieved completely. We have examples of that. We have examples of people that they were so religious that their prayers were being answered, all their prayers. People would take their loved ones that needed cure, that they couldn't find cure for, they would take them to these individuals. In Bani Israel, there's a story of such an individual. But he ended up leaving this world by doing sujood to shaitan. Okay. Husnul aqibah, leaving this world with a good ending, is very important. A lot of the ulama, the fear they had was this. Right now, alhamdulillah, I don't have a serious problem, but am I going to remain this way? Next day, am I going to lose my faith? So it says, the effects of the dunya, there's three of them that are mentioned right here. Hikmah, wisdom. If you're looking for wisdom, it says leaving this dunya, doing zuhd in the dunya, is going to cause wisdom in the heart and in words. Seeing the problems of the dunya, and also leaving this world with a good ending. It's another hadith, there's loads of them, I'll just read a few of them. The Imam says, according to this narration, that جُعِلَ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي بَيْتٍ. All of the good, any good you could imagine, has been put in a room. Any good you can imagine. وَجُعِلَ مِفْتَاحُهُ الزُّهْدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. The key to enter this room has been made zuhd of the dunya, staying away from the dunya. Another hadith. لا يجد الرجل حلاوة الإيمان في قلبه حتى لا يبالي من أكل الدنيا. A man is not going to have or taste the flavor and the good taste of Iman until they reach a stage where they don't care من أكل الدنيا, who gets the dunya. That's very hard to do. It's very important to us who gets a piece of it. When we see others having it and we don't have it, that's something we can't take. We want to have a piece of that too. We'll explain, inshallah. Another hadith along those same lines, the Imam says, according to this narration, حَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ أَن تَعْرِفَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى تَزَهَّدَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. It is haram, there's no way that your hearts are going to feel and know the sweetness of faith, iman, until they have this as zuhd fi dunya. See, it doesn't say la yaj or haramun ala qulubikum al iman. It doesn't say it is haram for your hearts to have iman. A lot of us have faith. Okay, we believe in God. There's a certain level of that. But the Imam says it is haram for the sweetness of faith to enter the heart. There is something beyond just believing. Okay. There's something far beyond that that is referred to as the sweetness of the faith. Okay. Where you enjoy that faith. How many of us enjoy this faith that we have? Enjoying faith, just feeling this enjoyment, not doing anything, not in the shopping mall, not on a video game for those who are younger, not involved with, no, just sitting down there on the desert sand even, just enjoying that faith. How many of us have that? Another hadith. إن رجلا سأل علي بن الحسين عليهما الصلاة والسلام عن الزهد. A person asked Imam al-Sajjad. No, Imam al-Sajjad is known as زين العابدين السجاد. Okay. Of course, it is interesting when he was told or asked about, you know, how can you do so much worship? What did he say? He said, this is nothing compared to what Amir al-Mu'mineen used to do. So anyhow, the Imam was asked about az-zuhd. I made the reference. Zuhd is something that we know who? That is a symbol of zuhd. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam al-Sajjad is asked about this. فقال عشرة أشياء. This zuhd is 10 things. فأعلى درجة الزهد أدنى درجة الورع. The highest level of zuhd is just the lowest level of wara. Okay. Wara is a practical thing. I don't know if you've heard. There's something, a concept called taqwa, and there's a concept called wara. Taqwa is when we have enough fear that when something is clearly haram, we stay away from it. When something is clearly wajib, we perform that. This is called taqwa. There's something called wara, which is being extra careful. Whatever it is that deals with sin, I don't even want to get close to that. Not just staying away from the sin itself, I don't want to be around it. I want to be more careful. This is called wara. The Imam says the highest level of zuhd is the lowest level of wara. Okay. Now you can imagine, if this is the definition of wara and taqwa, and this is the definition of zuhd that we gave, there's so much more beyond this, and we're talking at very basic stuff. Don't think that this is anywhere up there. And this is what we're struggling with. We ask Allah to help us. وَأَعْلَى دَرَجَةِ الْوَرَعِ أَدْنَى دَرَجَةِ الْيَقِينِ. The peak of wara. Okay, where will get you if you're practicing the highest level of wara is that it's going to get you to the lowest level of yaqeen. Now this is dealing with iman, height, the ranks of iman. The rank of iman called yaqeen. Okay, this yaqeen, I'll speak for myself. If it existed here, I wouldn't be who I am. Okay, yaqeen is something that at every point in the life there is 100% clarity of the existence of God and presence of God in every prospect of life. Okay, it gets deeper too. That's why there's levels. It says the highest level of wara is the lowest level of yaqeen. وَأَعْلَى دَرَجَةِ الْيَقِينِ أَدْنَى دَرَجَةِ الرِّضَى. Now, that stuff is just beyond, you know, it's way above my head to even speak about. But it's something interesting to hear, know there's this stuff too, okay? To know that there's so much more to struggle for. The Imam says, according to this hadith, the highest level of yaqeen is just the beginning level of rida, okay? We said this a couple of times, and I think I keep forgetting the first words and phrases of this. Imam al-Husayn on the day of Ashura, there's a report that says on those last moments, he says, Ilahi ridhan bi ridha'ik tasliman li amrik. Okay. I don't want to picture it too much, but just imagine a man all alone, his family is being or awaiting the coming of people to captivate them and take them. And this, and you know, they're all around him. These are his last moments. He's been oppressed so much. And very comfortably, he says, Ilahi ridhan bi ridha'ik. Whatever you're pleased with, I'm pleased with. See, this is not, as we said last night too, there's two ways you could do things. A lot of times we do something that is our responsibility, but we kind of feel, you know, we're forced to do it. That's one way to do things. But there's another way to do it with pleasure, being pleased with it. And something else that is being talked about here is whatever happens to me, I am 100% comfortable with it. I am pleased. Not just I'm okay with it happening, no. I'm pleased with it. Okay. This is... So anyhow, this is the highest level of yaqeen, the lowest level of rida. ألا وإن الزهد في آية من كتاب الله عز وجل لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم. See, the question that the Imam was asked was about zuhd. Imam first, he tries to tell his companion, look, this zuhd you're asking about, I'll explain. But know that the zuhd that you're looking at is just the beginning. There's so much more beyond that. Now, what is zuhd itself? The Imam says, if you want to get a definition of what zuhd is, in the Holy Quran you find this verse that deals with zuhd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم. If you lose wealth, you don't feel bad about it. If you gain, you don't feel good about it. No feeling towards this dunya. When you lose or when you gain. How many of us are even close to that? Make a deal, makes a couple thousand dollars off of a trade, will be up in the sky, forget about everything else. And we lose a little bit, then it's on our minds, I can't pray right, I gotta get antidepressants, or this is how we are. Zuhd. Let me read another hadith. I read the beginning part of this hadith last night. It's interesting. The Imam says, according to this narration, إِذَا تَخَلَّ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا سَمَى وَوَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ حُبِّ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ خُولِطْ. I didn't read this part of it. This is interesting. You find this about the, find this very true actually, about the many of the urafa. Says when a mu'min leaves this world, leaves the worldly things, the sparkly stuff, they're not really interested in it. Sama, they are elevated and they find the sweetness of hubbullah, the love of Allah in their hearts. Then it says, وَكَانَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. The way that the people of the dunya, those who are, we're living in a capitalist society, okay, that's what, if you want any أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا, this is the civilization of أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا. Okay. It's based on the dunya. That's what the danger is. That's why I said, you know, for just 2 weeks when I come, I feel like the darkness that my heart already has, okay, is increased tenfolds. Okay. And whatever little that we do over there, staying away from all of this, okay, just a matter of a couple of weeks, you go back, you're going to have to start all over again. It's really, really difficult, you know, to just live in. And Allah save us when we come back here to live. It's something to really worry about. Anyway, the Imam says, the people of the dunya look at this man that has left this world. He said, كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ خُلِطْ. This guy, you know, he's a little messed up here. He doesn't know what he's doing. Are you stupid? That's how they look at Ahlul Iman. And that's what causes us to feel like we need to move towards that too. A lot of times that's how we're intimidated to move and get those things. Oh, you don't know what a Nintendo is? You know, kids, I don't know, what do you guys have now? PlayStation? What is it? What's the latest version of this stuff? Okay. Okay, whatever. It's just like every day there's something new. You don't know what that is? Ah, ha, ha, ha. You know, this. That's how it is. That's how we get into. If we would have seen the Urafa, we would have said the same thing, brothers and sisters. You see the pictures of these people? Just the picture. We don't even see them in real life. There's a book I have about Allama Qadhi Tabatabai. There's a few pictures there. You just look at those pictures, they're like, man, someone give him a trimming machine to fix that beard up. Like, you know, just, come on. You can look better than that. This is the way we feel. This is the way Ahlul Dunya, if you're not clean shaven, you don't have, you know, the nice cuts. If you're Muslim, religious, okay, and you're keeping that beard, you have to have that nice cut here, otherwise, all clean, the best shavers, just that. Otherwise, you're not civilized. You got something wrong up here. That's the way Ahlul Dunya look at those who have the love of Allah. They don't understand it. وَإِنَّمَا خَالَطَ الْقَوْمَا حَلَاوَةُ حُبِّ اللَّهِ فَلَمْ يَشْتَغِلُوا بِغَيْرِهِ. The only thing they are occupied with is the love of Allah. These people who've left, that's it, you know, the dunya. What is this concept of zuhd? Okay. I'll narrate two stories. One of them is the story of an alim. The other one is a story that we get from the Ahlul Bayt to understand this concept a little more. There's an alim, and this has been recorded in some books, that this alim had written a book on zuhd. Okay. You have some things, I think in the Urdu language you also call them the same thing. We have something called darvish, okay, in Farsi, and I think the Urdu call them, okay. I wanted to use another word, but I'm afraid of my life, so I'm not going to use that word, but anyway. Please, I'm afraid, because they get very dangerous. We learn from the Ahlul Bayt to do taqiyah sometimes from the Shia. Okay. Allahumma salli ala. So this darvish somehow got a hold of the book of this alim. It's about zuhd, and he kept reading. He's like, "Oh my God, this guy, you know." No, that's what darvish, they're people that don't really get involved with the dunya. In Iran, I don't know if this is typical in the subcontinent too, but in Iran, they always talk about this something they call kashkul, okay? And they have an axe and a kashkul always carrying around with them, okay? Now, that's the only thing they have of the dunya. This darvish gets attracted to this scholar that's written this book so much that he says, you know, let me go see this man. If his book is so great, let me go see him. So he goes to visit him. And when he arrives, like, asks around the town, okay, this guy lives here. He goes and he's like, oh my God. Huge property. All kinds of horses and cattle and sheep and farmland and workers and servants. All of that. So he's like, He goes up to him, like, you know, I read your book. I was interested to see you, but, you know, book doesn't really match. The Adam says, well, stick around a little bit. He's engaged in his daily activities and working, farm. A day or two later, he says, are you up for a trip to Mashhad to go visit Imam Rida, salamullah alayhi? He said, yeah. So they leave. They start moving towards Mashhad. After a long while that they had moved, I guess they were busy talking or whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apparently caused this guy to forget that little kashkul that he had, little belonging that he had out of all of the dunya, yeah, this little thing. He forgot that. After a long distance, he realized, oh, I didn't bring my kashkul with me. So he said, oh, no, we got to go back. I left this. We got to go back. I got to pick it up and bring it. It's very dear to me. I got to keep it with me. And this and that. The Alim said, see, that's zuhd. Okay. All that property, I don't care about it. You know, anything could happen to it now. Back in the days, especially, where there's less security and, you know, things happen, left all of that. I'm not worried about what's going to happen to it. Out of all the dunya, you have this little kashkul and you're worried about it. It's not about really how much you have. Okay. It's not about it. When you look at the life of Amin al-Mu'minin salawatullah, look at how much wealth he created out of nothing. Okay. Around Medina, the wells he digged, and all those orchards that he made, the date trees. But of course, it's all zuhd. As soon as he finished the job, and according to one report, he would tell his son Imam al-Hassan apparently, or maybe Imam al-Hussein, that quickly, let's do waqf of this, make this a waqf before shaitan comes to us. That's a little advice that we get from the Ahlul Bayt. When you think of something good to do, don't wait. Do it. When shaitan comes in and says, I'll do it tomorrow. It's not a good time right now. Don't hesitate, just go ahead and do it. Amir al-Mu'mineen had a lot of wealth. But there was no attachment to it. And I can have, out of all of the wealth that exists in the world, this one little kashkul, and I'm attached to it. So one thing we know zuhd isn't, is not having wealth. That's not zuhd. I know a lot of people, you know, they're not very well off, but when you start speaking to them, like, my God, God is blessing this individual by not giving him wealth. If he had wealth, God knows what he would have done. Okay. So zuhd is not about not having the dunya. There's another story. This one is from the Ahlul Bayt, if I'm not mistaken, from Imam al-Sajjad or Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhima. It's something along the lines of the verse mentioned. You know, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet that lived until he saw Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi, was Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. So I think the story is about Imam al-Sajjad. Anyhow, so once he was around Imam al-Sajjad, the Imam, according to a report, says to him, what is your status right now? What do you feel? What level is your faith at? Okay. How do you feel about the dunya? The companion says, you know, the way I feel is this, that when I have ease, when I'm given wealth, I feel I don't want it. I want hardship. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hardship, for tough times. I don't want to have it at ease. I feel closer to Allah when I don't have it. It's, you know, this is something that a lot of us would probably feel. Okay. When we have a lot of wealth to deal with, something that may keep us away from Allah. So he says, I feel that I don't want to be at ease. I want to be at hardship. The Imam tells him, that's not how we are. We are such that we say, whatever Allah gives, if He gives ease, then that's good. I'm okay with that. If it's hardship, I'm also okay with that. Whatever He gives. So again, we come to the conclusion, zuhd that we're talking about is not going through hardship per se, or necessarily such. What is this zuhd, and how can we achieve it? As we said, now, you know, I think we're a little more clear on what zuhd itself is. It's being careless of the dunya. When we receive it, we'll use it in the right way. Okay, that's what the Ahlul Bayt did. When they had the wealth, some of the imams were good merchants, you know, they did business, they made money. But when they did make money, they used it in the right way. And the way they did business was the right way as well. They just didn't make any old, you know, profit. You've probably heard the story. One of the imams had some money, he wanted to do business. His companion was given the task of doing that. The companion took the money, the gold coins, and he bought something, went on a trip with a bunch of merchants to Egypt to try to sell that. And when they got close to Egypt, somebody was coming out of Egypt. They saw him, they asked him, you know, what's the market right now for these items? They're like, you know what, that's scarce to find. It's something that people need, they really need it, but you can't find it on the market. So like, okay, let's boost up the price. And that's what the West teaches you, okay. Whatever you can sell it for, even if it's 5 times the price, great, that's what they do. They make it dirt cheap in the Eastern countries, okay. They work off the all those workers, I don't know, $1 a day? What's the rate now? What are they saying? They're paying these people, okay. $1 a day or less than that, a little more than that, peanuts, okay. Then you see all these sales in the stores, like, yeah, 50% off. Like, you know, we go and use it, 80% off, but they're still making tons of profit. Okay, this is the way the capitalist society teaches you to work. So according to this narration, they charged double, okay. In other words, they made 100% profit. The companion went back to the owner and said, you know, we did really good business here. It took one sack of gold coins, gave the imam 2 sacks full of gold coins, so it had doubled. The imam was like, how did that happen? He explained, the imam was like, you know, that second sack, it's all yours, I don't want that. Okay, you can take that for yourself. I don't do business like that. The way they did business, the way they used their wealth, was not just, you know, any old way. So zuhd is not really caring about the dunya. But how do we try to get that in us? It's easy to say, and it's easy to say that, oh yeah, you know what, and you know, this is something that you hear a lot of people. There was a statement from Ajla Khamenei before his lectures, before his classes. By the way, he teaches Kharij on a weekly basis, around 3 sessions per week, okay? The advanced level of studies in the house. Before every session, he explains one hadith. Okay, one of the hadith that he did was about taqwa, and I read this, it was interesting. After explaining that hadith, he said that, you know, it's very amazing how people can talk about irfan, spirituality, without worrying about taqwa and abiding by the laws of Allah. Okay. There's a lot of people that talk about it. You see them, you know, clean shaven, huge mustaches, talking about the poetry of Hafiz or this and that. Okay. And it's not just the beard, okay, because that's ihtiyat wajib. Maybe some of the maraja have other views on the issue. Okay. Whoever we follow, that's our taklif. It's not just that you look at them, you know, they're huge mansions in, I don't know if they still have, but Beverly Hills in LA, and all kinds of stuff, and they're sitting there talking about Irfan in a way that, like, you know. Same thing, we talk about Zuhd, and you know, it's these type of people, you hear them talking about Zuhd, and a lot of us fall in the same trap. We talk about this Zuhd, and as soon as you're like, okay, you know, you're talking about Zuhd, you're just like the Darvish did towards that scholar, like, I don't really see how you're implementing that. It's very easy to say the same thing the scholar said, okay. Yeah, it's about not being attached. It's not really about how much you have. It's easy to fall into that trap and actually be very attracted to the dunya. How can you have that and not be attracted to it? Human nature is that you're going to be attracted to it. And that's what we want to read, a couple of or a few verses in the Holy Quran that talk about the dunya. This, we're talking about zuhd of the dunya. What is this dunya that we're talking about? One verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا وعنده حسن المآب. We have beautified or yeah, that's the best word I can think of for the word zina. Those are in the ahkam class or in the question and answers. They've heard the word zina from us. This is the same word. Finding it very exact and precise equivalent, I found it difficult. Anyway, we made hubbu shahawat, the love of the shahawat, what people have desires towards, we made this very sparkly and nice for people. Okay, this is, that's why I said it's natural to people. That nafs that we talked about, okay, it has this natural drive. It's got to be trained. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ Women, okay. The attraction of men towards women, that's something that, you know, the whole world knows, the Holy Quran says. It doesn't talk about too much the attraction of women towards men. It's usually talking about the attraction of men towards women, because that's what it usually is. You know, billboards have pictures of women, not men. والبنين, children, والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة, you know, all the gold little the jewels or the dishes that are made out of gold and silver, horses, livestock, harth, grains and farms, all of this, wealth basically. This has been glorified, or there's attractions for the people in this. Another thing about the dunya, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. One of the things about the dunya is that it's very limited. It's very small. I like to make this comparison. With kids, okay. A child that doesn't realize the importance of education, and they're always either on the street or on the basketball court or the football field or on the video games, they're occupied with that. And the parents that have gained some sort of wisdom, at least about this world, the dunya itself, they've become more wise about it. Okay, they're always trying to get this child to get involved with their studies. Why? Because the benefit of the studies from the dunyawi perspective, from the worldly perspective, okay, it's much more important than the games that the child is playing. It's ridiculous to give up all of what you can gain. I mean, you can have huge homes, have any video game you wish, swimming pool, any type of, you know, attraction that you like, you can get involved with all of that. If you study, You get that education, you'll be able to get it. But the child doesn't understand that. The only thing right now that his brain is working on is that video game and getting that done and finding what else is new on that. Okay. When you look at it like that, compared to what you can get with that little bit of hardship, that's very small. All of the dunya put together, from the beginning time all the way to the end of time, is nothing compared to the hereafter. We're stuck with these 20 years of trying to, you know, benefit from the huge house or the swimming pools or whatever, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to do that. Or even if we don't do it, because there's levels of zuhud, okay? There's levels of zuhud. The basic level of zuhud is, at the very least, we don't commit sins to gain this world, or to keep it, we don't commit sins. And we're struggling with this, okay? The actual zuhud is, as we said, that one doesn't even care about it. It's not even an issue for people to try to, you know, butter them up in order for them to do something that's wrong in their religion. It doesn't work for someone that's at the higher level of zuhd. But anyway, there's different ranks. All of this, when we struggle for willing to do anything, try to justify, force yourself to find some loophole to get this job or the other job or not to pay this khums or do. Why? Because of this little bit. Mata'u dunya qaleel. What are you? It's just like the child. That's why we say this is childish. It's really childish. We don't realize it. That's the only thing. We realize it when it's too late. Another verse: وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَاهٌ وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Very interesting verse. The life of this dunya is nothing but a game. Okay. It's just a game. Of course, doesn't mean whatever you do in this dunya is a game. Whatever you do in the dunya, if we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this dunya, this is not a game. Okay. But the dunya that is not related to achieving, I mean, all of the prophets and the imams and the companions of the imams have achieved perfection through this dunya. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. So that's not the aspect of it that it's dealing with. When this dunya is not used for the hereafter, okay, when you want the dunya itself, not for the hereafter, that's just, you know, la'ibun wa lahw. An actual life, wala darul akhirah, khayrun lilladhina yattaqun. The hereafter is better for those who are pious. And then at the end it says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. As we said, you know, think about it. Where is your wisdom? Our wisdom is limited. We become wise about how to benefit more in this world. Well, that's the wrong type of wisdom. That's not the real aql. Another thing about the dunya, غَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The dunya is deceptive, brothers. This is a fact. This is what we wanted to stress on. The dunya is very deceptive. Before we know it, we're constantly occupied, our minds are occupied either on better ways of earning money or something that deals with work. Okay, what am I going to do being laid off? We have to worry about earning money. Okay. Or the business, what can I buy and sell next, okay, or things like that. It's either our mind is occupied with work, or the mind is occupied with spending it. Window shopping, now the internet, you don't even have to go out, just go on the internet and start looking at what there is, like, oh my God, now there's this new dress, new style, a new fashion, new whatever. Before we know it, we're occupied with that. It's very easy to fall into that trap. I know so many people, especially those who come, those of us who come from the East, okay. I've heard this story so many times, like, yeah, you know, when we came, we were planning on staying here for 1 year. And now we've stayed here for so many years. It's like quicksand, okay? That's how the dunya, this is the place for the dunya, okay? Corporate slavery that they say, okay, is corporate slavery. It's about the dunya. How you can manipulate people to gain more of this dunya. The more you master it, the more successful you are. The classic American stories that they talk about success, is about how you can, you know, manipulate people and gain the benefits of this dunya. That's the only thing that works with the mind. When you're living in this environment, that when we go to Costco or Sam's Club or whatever place we go, because we choose to go to warehouses because it's, you know, it's cheaper. We're like, okay, we're spending less, but we go there to buy a couple of things, we come out with the whole thing full. Okay. That's how the dunya is. That's how the dunya is. It's deceptive. Before we know it, we're all into it. It's like quicksand, as we said. One of the things we read in the Holy Quran about the dunya is that when people are taken to hell, they're asked, you know, didn't our prophets come and tell you what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do? قَالُوا شَهِدْنَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَافِرِينَ. Says, yes, we testify against ourselves. Yes, you know, they did come. And it says, وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The life of this dunya deceived them. Another thing about the dunya, it's interesting. Dunya is sometimes a punishment. Okay. Sometimes, not always. One verse we have in that regard. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلَا تُعْجِبُكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. Don't be amazed and astonished by their wealth and the children that they have. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْحَقَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. The reason why Allah has given them all that wealth, because that's something that people ask, you know, if we are believers and God is in control of this universe, then why is it that actually when you look at the East, there's barely anything there? They're all underdeveloped third world countries. They don't have good water. They don't have good, they can't make anything. And you look at the West, it's so nice, these beautiful highways. I mean, Houston, you get like all kinds of these highways. I mean, it's amazing how much money they can spend in concrete and making these bridges and just all over the place. All of this exists out here. It says, don't cause that to say, oh my, wow, these people have so much. This is something that we all fall into. First thing that, you know, attracts our attention and causes us to, you know, it's not easy for us to make the decision to just leave it and go and do something else. For the sake of religion, for the sake of our own hereafter. It's this. Okay. Come like, wow. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah wants to punish them with it in this dunya. وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسَهُمْ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. There's punishment in this dunya. The fact is, okay, even if we don't realize it, even if we don't realize it, okay, the richer one is, that this is the quality of this dunya. The richer one is, the more worries we have. It's not like we take too much pleasure in it. We have all of that. They've made so many movies on it too, Hollywood movies about this. You know, you have this rich guy, he wants to just leave it all, go be with poor people and all, because he's just sick of it, okay? You're just sick of having all of that. And how much can you use? Okay. You work your tail off until you're a certain age where you have it, then you can't use it. You have to leave it all for your children. Okay. This is adab. You know, I'm seeing all of that. Like, oh, you know, I'm leaving. This is adab in the dunya. The hereafter, Lord have mercy on us. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. From here, the verses of the Holy Quran and then a couple of ahadith. Sorry, I'm taking a little too much time tonight. about what to do, what is going to solve our problems, or what's the way forward. This verse says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, those who don't have hope in meeting us. Okay, this is something that the verses of the Holy Quran, these words are something that have been repeated a number of times in the Holy Quran. What they say, it refers to the ulama, it refers to the belief in the hereafter. But the wording of it is interesting. It says those who don't have hope. Or in another verse, one of the verses that is recommended for those that want to at least get up for the night prayer and they want some help from Allah to get up. Okay, there's a verse, I think it's the last verse of Surah Kahf. Okay. That has this in it too. فَمَنْ يَرْجُو, or if I can get the wording right, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا until the end of the verse. فَمَنْ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, those who have hope in meeting their Lord. The hereafter is referred to as meeting the Lord. Okay, now what that deeply means in Irfan and spirituality, I don't want to get into that too much, but just remember that there's something special about this. Those who don't believe in the hereafter, but the wording is this, those who don't have hope in meeting their Lord, okay, وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, they're pleased with just this dunya. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ, the bad people is describing. One thing was لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, and then that in a way leads to رَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا, they were confident about it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ, these people are negligent of our signs. So taking 2 points from the verse, one of the reasons why we're so attracted to the dunya is because we don't remind ourselves of leaving this dunya. Liqa of Allah. This is something we keep forgetting. We don't like to even be reminded of death. Okay. People are asked, especially when we get older, in this country especially, how old are you? It's not something people like to be asked. Okay. Because, I mean, if you're growing up, yeah, you like to be asked that, you want to be older. But then when you get a little older, you don't want to be asked that. You don't want to be reminded that I'm getting close to the age that I'll be leaving this world. But it's a fact. We are going to be leaving. One of the reasons why we're so attached to this is because we forget this. We don't have hope for it, according to the verse. So one of the ways to try to get rid of this disease, this problem of hubbud dunya, and to become zahid and practice that zuhud, is to remind ourselves of death, which is meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing is an ayatina ghafilun, signs of Allah, noticing these things as the signs of Allah. Usually when I go around people in different cities, including the city, brothers ask, you know, you want to go downtown and check it out and look at the building and stuff. You know, I'm not too interested in that. That reminds me, I'm not saying this is, okay, but because of me and my, that reminds me of the dunya, okay. But what it is enjoyable is when you go into nature, okay, and you see the signs of Allah, get out of this materialistic, you know, all these nice buildings and the cars and all of that, just move away from it, be outside of it for a while. Okay. Signs of the dunya. Of course, the most important signs of Allah are, of course, the Ahlul Bayt. So going for ziyarat over there is something that is very beneficial. There's more that I had to talk about, but inshallah, maybe some other time. I think we're all getting tired. But zuhd, brothers and sisters, if we can achieve that, zuhd, all of the aspects of our life will be much more enjoyable. That rida that is talked to cannot be achieved without this zuhd. And if we have this zuhd, we're not gonna, even the family life, okay, the capitalistic life, you know, it causes influence in the families. Some weird things that I'm hearing, I'm just astonished. People, I mean, husband and wife dealing with how much of the paycheck is whose, okay, and having arguments on that. This is the first time I heard it here, and like, okay, you know, this is just, it's gotten into the families, people in within the family, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of my signs is that between the husband and wife, there's rahmah, there's supposed to be passion and love. Okay. And dealing with one another with business, who gets how much. If we don't have that, if I don't worry about it, okay, who cares? I'm not really fighting to control the wealth of this house. I have to be in control of it. Okay, who cares? I'm earning this money for what? For the family. Okay, so okay, they'll spend it. If they have money, let them spend it on their own. All the aspects of life will be much more enjoyable. Sallallahu alaykum ya ahla baytin nubuwwah. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة موضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي وخزان العلم إن شاء الله we have the tawfiq and the blessing from Allah in the near future to be in the haram of Amirul Mu'mineen Imam al-Husayn Kadhimiyya Samirra Mashhad Medina and say these words there Assalamu alaykum يا أهل بيت النبوة May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household of prophethood. Just being in the haram of the Ahlul Bayt frees the heart of the darkness of this dunya. If we were in the presence of the Ahlul Bayt, how would have that felt? Sallallahu alayka ya Aba صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, Imam al-Husayn. My oppressed Imam, my Imams that left this world with a thirsty mouth. Sallallahu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. When we were talking about Zuhd, I was reminded of Amirul Mu'mineen Awwalu Mazloom first of the oppressed. Sallallahu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. What does it mean, the first of the oppressed? There were many people before Amir al-Mu'mineen that were oppressed. It doesn't mean time-wise, brothers and sisters. It probably means that in rank, the person that was oppressed the most is Amir al-Mu'mineen. All of the hatred that Amir al-Mu'mineen faced, as Dua al-Nudba says, when Amir al-Mu'mineen participated in the battles and killed so many of the kuffar, they developed this hatred towards Amir al-Mu'mineen. But when did the hatred show itself? You may think that the oppression is at the time when Amir al-Mu'mineen was striked on the head. But I think the oppression that the Imam faced was in Medina, where after the Holy Prophet, his right was taken, but the only one to stand up for the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen is Hadrat Fatima Salamullahi Alayha. She protected the Imam behind the door. Some people ask and say, could it be that Amir al-Mu'mineen was in the house and he would allow that to happen to his wife? They question that event. But I don't think that's questionable. You should understand the pain of that. Amir al-Mu'mineen sitting in the house and Hadrat Fatima being behind the door. And when he's taken to the masjid, Hazrat Fatima is the one who runs to the masjid. They have a sword above Amir al-Mu'mineen's head. His hands are all tied down, all the people in the masjid. Ali, you either pledge allegiance or we kill you. Hadrat Fatima comes into the place. Sallallahu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hadrat Fatima is ill now. She would be laying in the house for a couple of months. Amir al-Mu'mineen has to witness this every day, be reminded of the pain. They say when they brought him the news, he was in the masjid. They came and told him, Hadrat Fatima is not opening her eyes. It says he fell back. According to some reports, he went to the house, sat beside Hadrat Fatima. Ya Zahra, open your eyes, speak to me. Ana Ali. No one else is speaking to me. أول مظلوم in Kufa, when Amir al-Mu'mineen was struck, he said, Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah. فزت ورب الكعبة But there's a report on his deathbed. Towards the end, he started notifying the people. The Prophet is here. Hadrat Fatima is here. على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله we ask you to hasten the return of our Imam. والله we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to enable us to be of the companions of the Imam. والله we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our Maraja. And especially our leader. O Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask you to forgive our parents and all of those who've taught us a word in Islam of their sins. O Allah, we ask you to free all of those under oppression. O Allah, we ask you that you relieve all those under hardship, especially the people of Haiti. Whatever we ask, please grant us and those which we need and we did not mention. Please also grant them bin Nabi wa Ali Rahim. Allahumma qara al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat.